It's not too early to start thinking about your furnace tune-up. The friendly technicians at Design Air Heating and Cooling will clean and test your furnace so it runs safely and efficiently all winter. Peace of mind that your family is safe during the heating season. If you need a new furnace, Design Air is the number one trained dealer in the Midwest. Design Air Heating and Cooling. See more at designair.net. Design Air Heating and Cooling, proud partner of the St. Louis Cardinals. That's Design Air Heating and Cooling.
St. Louis Cardinals, National League Central Division champions.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. The only thing I like better than baseball is saving people money. Start saving now with a cash out refinance at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com. It's Wednesdays with Walton and our chance to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. We're going to dive into the minor leagues. Some big news concerning the future of minor league baseball for all teams, not just the Cardinals, but all teams. Could we see a reduction in rosters, jobs, maybe even teams? We'll get into that. We'll talk about those making some noise in the Arizona Fall League. And one of the subjects we get into is Dylan Carlson. If you missed it, I have a podcast up at scoopswithdannymac.com. Nice long 20, 25-minute visit with the top prospect of the St. Louis Cardinals, who was coached by his father growing up. Remember, he's only 20 years old, but still a big influence in Dylan's life.
Definitely. He doesn't miss an at-bat. He watches every single at-bat on the app. He likes to chime in here and there. He's real passionate about the sport, and you know, he definitely tries to chime in, but he, of course, he understands that I have coaches and I have a pretty good feel of what I'm doing now at this point. So he definitely understands, but he's always there, you know, just that extra voice and, you know, trying to pass along what he's seeing. Like you said, he's always been a part of my life and he's been a big mentor for me ever since I started playing. So for me, it's really cool to have someone like that who has that much passion about the sport and then tries to help me in any way possible.
Hear that whole interview with Dylan Carlson at scoopswithdannymac.com, and also a podcast currently up with Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch, as we'll talk about Dylan, his role with the 2020 team, and get into the futures of Yadier Molina, Adam Wainwright, Marcell Ozuna, Paul DeJong, Tommy Edman. A lot of subjects covered. Look back at the NLCS and a look forward to 2020, and that's with Derek Gould up at scoopswithdannymac.com. We're coming to you in brilliant clarity by Lordo's Diamonds. See their selection, lordosdiamonds.com, located in the heart of Ladue. Coming up, we'll visit with Brian Walton. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. Are you all set? You've been piling up those Schnucks Rewards points all year. What better time to cash them in? You could have Schnucks pay for the Thanksgiving turkey or a pumpkin pie from the best bakery in St. Louis. Maybe even your entire holiday meal, all because you're a Schnucks Rewards member. Whether you're hosting the whole family or bringing a special dish to their house, make sure you're all set for Thanksgiving. Head to Schnucks and cash in those rewards points. Think Schnucks. Celebrate 125 years of history at St. Louis Union Station with free movies every weekend in October and November near the lake. Get a bird's eye view of all that history when you take a spin on the St. Louis Wheel. Soaring 200 feet into the air, you'll appreciate the iconic skyline inside a climate-controlled gondola. Enjoy a round of golf at the 18-hole miniature golf course. Other attractions include the St. Louis Carousel and the Fire and Light Show. Visit stlouisunionstation.com. Come celebrate.
St. Louis Cardinals, National League Central Division champions.
Chance to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. And if you are a baseball fan, Cardinal fan, you love the minor leagues, Brian has information every single day at thecardinalnation.com. I go there all the time as a cheat sheet for my broadcasts on Fox Sports Midwest, but we don't need to talk about that, do we, Brian?
No, not unless you want to.
Well, when spring training gets here, you know I love to cheat off it. So I get my handbook and I take your news and basically your profiles of these minor leaguers, and it certainly helps me out, believe me. But I love the site. There's big news concerning the minor leagues and elimination potentially of rosters, and that means elimination of potentially teams. Explain to fans what is happening or could happen here with the minor leagues, the lower levels in particular.
Well, historically, you know, back to the Branch Rickey days, organizations wanted to have as many minor league teams as they could to foster a pipeline of players to the major leagues, because it's difficult to determine, you know, which guys are, you know, going to be most likely to make it. Over the years, the number of minor league teams have dropped down to currently in the United States, organizations have usually 8 or 9 minor league affiliated teams. And baseball is very different from other sports in that they have all of these farm teams. I mean, you look at, for example, the NFL, their farm teams are basically the NCAA. And you know, same with NBA and other sports. So, you know, baseball has carried this additional expense of the minor leagues for a number of years. Now, part of the reason that they've been able to do that is that the players have been paid as seasonal employees. And, you know, anybody who's followed baseball knows in recent years this issue has gotten a lot of attention. You know, how can minor league players' salaries be increased to cover time that they spend in spring training and extended spring training, and, you know, maybe even some of the travel time? Because, you know, right now a number of the minor leaguers are making right at or even in some cases below minimum wage. And a proposal to kind of help address all of this is to, by the way, while scouting becomes better and teams become more confident they can find major leaguers, there's an overarching proposal that MLB has developed to reduce minor league baseball by 42 teams, and of course the players that go with it, and that would take effect starting in 2021.
What do you think about this? Where do you stand?
Well, it's an interesting situation. 42 teams mean that 42 cities are going to lose their minor league baseball. Now, the proposal says that, hey, these teams could get independent teams, but, you know, that really lacks the identification and association that teams like Johnson City and State College, which are the teams in the Cardinals organization that look like they would be contracted in this type of environment. Now, there's reasons for MLB to want to save money, which they could then potentially route to some of these players that have been underpaid. But the fact is that in the case of the Cardinal system, for example, losing those two teams means that roughly 65 to 70 players would lose their jobs as well. So the guys who stay around, you know, may get paid more, but there's going to be not only players who will lose their jobs, but also the managers and coaches and strength coaches and conditioning and trainers, and the local economies, all the people, you know, in the ballparks. If those, you know, teams don't get some other way to be affiliated or to be participating in leagues, you know, minor league baseball in a number of small cities could be lost. Now, on Major League Baseball side, they've said, hey, there are a number of minor league facilities that are below par, that they, you know, they haven't invested, they haven't stepped up to get the playing surfaces, the clubhouses, the practice areas, and even the stands, you know, up to the level that they'd like. But there are probably other ways to get that job done versus necessarily shutting them down. And while this agreement, the formal overarching agreement between Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball only runs through 2020, and would be effective in 2021, these changes, there certainly are going to be teams and owners and cities who will fight against this kind of proposal. So, you know, there are a lot of questions that are still open about how this might work. But the bottom line is that minor league baseball, as we know it, would compress.
What about if you're a team that has the funds and wants to do it, just kind of reinvesting in the quote-unquote, market of, hey, it's not really technically a, let's say, low minor league team. It's independent ball, but we've got 5 of them, and we're housing 5 of those different teams, and those teams are going to see their players funneled to that particular organization. Could that happen?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dan. You know, would major league organizations be allowed to establish more of a hardwired affiliation with an independent club? We don't know that yet. You know, we've seen cases where the Cardinals have gone and plucked a player out of the River City Rascals, for example. But that tends to be a unique situation, not a regular type of thing. Now, the other factor in this as well is that Major League Baseball has proposed cutting down the June draft from its current level of 40, used to be 50 rounds, now it's 40. They might go down to 20 or 25 in this new arrangement. So, you know, another way to slow the pipeline of players is by drafting fewer of them. And if you look at statistically over time, you know, very few of the guys that are in the 25 to 40 rounds ever, you know, make the major leagues. So, you know, the independent leagues could be a way for those guys who might have been in a, you know, a 26th or a 38th rounder to still get a shot to play baseball and get noticed by a major league organization.
What do you think the feeling is around minor leagues and just a general feeling of the people that you talk to day in and day out? What do they think about when they heard this news?
Well, the president of minor league baseball, Pat O'Connor, has said that they're very concerned about this proposal and that they will fight it if necessary, if they're not able to, you know, see eye to eye with MLB on this. So, you know, it's still very, very early on. But, you know, any major contraction is going to be met with concern. I mean, Johnson City's been, you know, associated with the Cardinals off and on for decades. And State College, maybe State College would move up in level, or maybe they would, you know, get another minor league team. But their facility is, which they share with Penn State, is, you know, one of the best in the major leagues. So, you know, there's a lot of history as well that would be lost, you know, if depending on how this plays out.
How do you think this ties into the CBA coming up in 2 years with Major League Baseball?
I don't think it really does, Dan. And when Dan says CBA, he's talking about the collective bargaining agreement between players and owners, which, of course, governs how the Major League Baseball players who are part of the MLB Players Association are paid and how they receive their benefits and all of that. I think that those two things will go on in parallel, but it's very important to remember that the members of the Major League Baseball Players Association do not include minor leaguers. And if anything we've seen over time, if concessions have to be made by the major league players, it's the minor league guys who get the short end of the stick. So, you know, the MLB players will be looking out for themselves, and their issues are much different. Like, their issues are free agency and service time manipulation and how to deal with multi-year contracts and those types of things, which have nothing to do with the minor league issues of better pay and better facilities.
More with Brian Walton in just a moment. Want to get an advantage over the house this fall? You need to download BetQL, only app you'll need to make smart bets this season. Want to know who pro bettors are betting on? BetQL shows you sharp data comparing the amount of money placed on a bet and the percentage of public tickets on a game. Stay up to date with line movement with BetQL, track lines leading up to kickoff or the opening tip. Download BetQL for your smartphone or go to betql.co to sign up. Brian, the Arizona Fall League is about done. Give me your impression of those that have competed in the Arizona Fall League from the St. Louis Cardinals. Who stood out? Who's been okay? Who hasn't? Your overall thoughts?
Well, I would say, generally speaking, the pitchers have been better than the hitters, which is a bit of a surprise when you think about the bigger names, the Monteros and Herreras and all, were on the hitting side. But having said that, Ivan Herrera, the 19-year-old catcher, has gotten rave reviews. I talked to his manager, his hitting coach, and they all were very pleased with a young man who finished the season at Palm Beach, so much less experience than some of these pitchers who are, you know, Triple-A. A few of them have actually reached the major leagues. So you get a kid in High A who's catching, you know, much more experienced pitchers and is getting good reviews for his game calling and his work behind the plate. And then batting, again, against more experienced hitters, Herrera has done very well. He's got a 267 or so batting average, but a 400 on base percentage, more walks than strikeouts, which shows, you know, advanced plate discipline for a player that young. And Ivan Herrera right now has been on the cusp of our top 10 in the Cardinals system, but I think he's going to, you know, shoot up when we do our new prospects ranks this winter. And I believe Herrera will receive his first, I would be very surprised if Herrera does not receive his first major league camp invitation this coming spring.
And having said that, Brian, you know, there's, and he will not be on the 40 man, but there's going to be movement coming up on the 40 man. I know you're always looking at that and how the Cardinals may manipulate the 40 man to make room for free agents or trades or whatever the case may be. Right now, where does the 40 man stand, and what kind of activity would you expect in the next few weeks?
Well, the first move will be the players that have to go back on who are on the 60-day disabled list. So any player who is on, you know, the 60-day injured list, I should say, of course, using the proper terminology, all those players have to go back on to the 40-man. So I'm talking about Brett Cecil and Jordan Hicks, Lane Thomas, and Tony Cingrani, of course, didn't play for the team. And then immediately the players will go off, which are impending free agents. So here, you know, we're talking about Cingrani, we're talking about Matt Wieters, Adam Wainwright, at least initially, and several others. So there's always this, you know, give and take of guys coming on and off. Probably the most important milestone coming up will be the December Rule 5 draft. And just before Thanksgiving, the Cardinals will have to make a decision on a number of players who otherwise would be eligible. And at this point, you know, certainly Jake Woodford is a guy who's likely to be added, as well as the third baseman who's down in the Arizona Fall League, who had an injury disrupted 2019. I'm talking about Ulysses Montero. Those two guys are the guys most likely to be added to the 40-man. There'll be some, you know, pairing off of guys that are marginal, you know, maybe outrighted to the minor leagues to create an open space or two for free agent signings. And, of course, you know, the big wild card is, you know, will they make any trades this winter? And if so, will it mean more players coming on or other, you know, more players going off? And that, of course, depends on the, you know, the level of players that they might try to pick up.
I'm curious if you think the Cardinals are going to be really aggressive this offseason, just in a general sense, or do you think they, you know, feel they have the nucleus to come back and get back to the NLCS?
I think that's a question that every fan wants to know. You know, there's some level of fans that are still, I would say unhappy or concerned about the direction of the organization. Now, you know, on the other hand, you look and say, hey, they reached the Final Four, won 91 games, clearly their best season in the last 4 years. So on one hand, I think the organization will say, hey, this is an endorsement that the plan that we're on is the right plan. And, you know, they have starters, you know, pretty much at every position with the exception of maybe Ozuna, of course, who's maybe the largest impending free agent of them all. But, you know, they've got a lot of quantity, but they need to get probably some better quality hitters. In order to do that, they're going to have to move some guys out of the way, whether they trade them or release them or what they do. And, you know, you look at third base as a potential, you look at left field as a potential, maybe even right field and even center, because, you know, Harrison Bader, for as good as his defense is, you know, his offense hasn't locked him in, at least in my opinion, to an ongoing starting job in the major leagues, like, say, Colton Wong or a Paul DeJong.
Absolutely. It is the biggest question, I think, going into this offseason. As we wrap it up here, you've had a chance now to really dive in and day out with the Cardinals minor league system. Where is the strength? Where are the weaknesses? And what you like and what you don't like about right now with the Cardinals minor league system heading into 2020?
Well, I think we saw in the 2019 draft, the Cardinals went pretty heavy on pitching, starting with Zach Thompson in of Kentucky in the first round. And of course, those players, you know, didn't really get a chance to show much because the Cardinals rightfully are careful with players who've pitched an entire season in college ball before they're signed. But, you know, right now the Cardinals are in pretty good shape position-wise at the upper levels of the minor league system. Pitching-wise, they are in not nearly as good a shape. You know, after Jake Woodford down in Memphis, you know, there isn't a lot that looks like major league talent. They've got some relievers, some of the guys that have stepped up in the fall league. Seth Elledge, Cody Whitley are a couple of names that we'll see in the mix this year. So on the relief side, better. But on the starting pitching side, I think that's where the Cardinals continue to need to focus. And, you know, there are those who say, hey, you know, with Waka and potentially Wainwright both leaving the rotation, you know, maybe free agency for a starting pitcher might be an area that makes sense for the Cardinals to stick their toe into the water this winter.
What are you working on right now at thecardinalnation.com?
Well, literally, right before we began this conversation, I'm working on the rookie players of the year. So these are the top first-year players, relief pitchers, starting pitchers, position players, and then the players of the year in the minor league system. So I'm going through the data and going through all the candidates, and those articles will be rolling out as we continue our top awards across the system now that have been going for about the last month. Then we'll shift gears and get right into the top 50 prospect list for 2020, which will be a key part of our 2020 Cardinals prospect guide, which will come out somewhere right around the first of the year.
Ready for another season of college football. Mizzou will be playing this weekend. Head to Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, and when you go there, you can tackle the MIZ Mega Meal. Includes a bucket of your favorite domestic beer, boneless wings, large one topping Hotshots pizza, available together, one great price. There's a location near you. Find it, hotshotsnet.com. By the way, did you hear my visit with Dylan Carlson?
Yeah, how about that? What did you think of Dylan? I've talked to him a number of times, but I'm curious your impression of him, Dan.
Very well spoken. Very well spoken for a 20-year-old kid. Grounded, it seems like. Obviously, the son of a coach. I'm excited for him. I mean, with the kind of year that he had and the fact that he progressed as far as he did, Brian, and didn't really stop, that's what gets you excited. There wasn't that bump in the road or hit a wall. That's why I'm excited. I'm excited, depending on what happens with Ozuna, we don't know. I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table. I think it's going to be fun to watch him grow.
And I think that the Cardinals will have that in mind as they look at various options for the outfield. Signing an outfielder for the next 5 years might be something they don't want to do if it means blocking Dylan Carlson. So, I could easily see the Cardinals going out and getting a veteran guy who might be there that could start if Carlson isn't ready for 2, 3, 4, whatever months, or, could be a fourth outfielder if Carlson decides to step up. But, they're not going to do anything that blocks Dylan Carlson's progression to the major leagues. And I think while his time at Springfield was obviously very, very successful in that he was named the Texas League Player of the Year, I think perhaps even more important for his future is that last month when he went up to Memphis and showed that, hey, I can hit Triple-A pitching, I can play Triple-A ball without missing a beat. And I think that sort of helped some of us, like me included, that were skeptical that he might be, able to step into the major leagues right away in 2020. By his success at Memphis, I think he showed, hey, I should be able to come to camp and, potentially earn that major league job.
Well, I said that was going to be it, but I had to follow up with that as I was thinking about it because you're the foremost expert on minor leagues with the Cardinals and Dylan Carlson. So I had to ask you, Brian. I had to.
I love it. I'd love to talk about Dylan Carlson every week, and, we probably will.
Yes, we will. Matter of fact, we'll do it next Wednesday. Let's make a plan of that. Dylan Carlson Wednesday, next Wednesday. We'll dive more into him.
You got it. We'll talk to you then, Dan.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Hair Saloon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Saloon for Men, 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Saloon for Men.